Do you know whom you have believed? And are you convinced that he's able to keep you and keep all you have committed to him?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the second part of Pastor Brian Grant's message taken from 2 Timothy, where the Apostle Paul, knowing that the time of his martyrdom is near, counsels his son in the faith, Timothy, three commitments he must make in order to stand firm in the ministry in the difficult days ahead. Pastor Grant has us to know that in our own increasingly anti-Christian world, these three commitments apply as perhaps never before. We heard the first point, commit to utilizing my spiritual gift, that is, to engage God's own enablement to accomplish his divine plan. This is, again, where we pick up this evening. Here again is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of living godly in an anti-God world.
But here's the third thing. Accept feedback from mature Christians and then pray. Because sometimes, if you're not careful, sometimes mature Christians do one or two things. Sometimes they may discourage you from the very gift that you have. On the other hand, sometimes they will try to railroad you. So it's good to get feedback from other Christians, but then pray. God, is what they're saying really it? Pray through the whole process. And here's the fourth thing I'm going to tell you in this very simple. Take advantage of available tools like Spiritual Gifts Inventory that's available right here at GCA. Now, I'll be clear. Some of these tools will ask you so many questions, particularly this one. It asks you so many questions. And after a while, you say, but it's asking me the same question. It's asking you, all those questions are being asked for a reason. And although these tools are not foolproof, sometimes they suggest you have a gift which seems crazy. But don't be too quick to write it off. You know, about 25 years ago, I did this spiritual gifts inventory. And it gave me the craziest idea. Do you know what gift it suggested that I had? I gave up on the tool because I'm like, this is the craziest idea. The tool said that my primary gift was that of pastor. I'll be honest, I called Sonny's and Dad, we all laughed together. We thought this was such a joke. I was sure I did not have the gift of the pastor. God does have a sense of humor, doesn't he? First, three things that we want to talk about today. First, I must commit to utilizing my spiritual gift. But second, I must commit to speak up for Christ despite the cost. I must commit to speaking up for Christ despite the cost. So when you're at school and they are downgrading the name of Jesus, when they are abusing Jesus, do you stay quiet? Or do you say, he that fights and runs away will live to fight another day? Or do you take the stance, listen, oh no, I know him personally. He's my savior, and I can tell you, what you're saying about him is not true. He's the lover of my soul. He died on the cross for my sin, and he died on the cross for your sin, and he can change you and transform your life. I must commit to speaking up for Jesus, amen, despite the cost. And that's one of the greatest challenges the Church of Jesus Christ has today, is that we're too quiet. The devil is having heyday. You know what I find very interesting? Our society the leadership in our society, are very reluctant to say anything negative about Muslims. But they will say every evil thing about the Christian church. It's very interesting. And so the Lord is telling us that you can expect that the church and the Lord Jesus Christ, his name is going to be abused. And so here's what he says to Timothy. Here's what Paul tells Timothy in verse number 8. He says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Young people, don't be afraid to say I belong to Jesus. I remember telling them that when I was in university. And oh my goodness, it was a good thing, but it was a hard thing to do. But you know, after I said that, by the way, here's one of the good reasons for saying that. Because if you tell them you're a Christian, you better don't get involved with all the stuff, amen? Because now that you put it out there that I belong to Jesus, I better start behaving like I'm with Jesus, amen? So here we are. Where are we reading? Verse number 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Hallelujah. Paul is facing death at any moment now. He can be executed. He can be beheaded. And he says in verse 12, for this reason, I suffer all these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, amen? For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Paul was once so steeped in the Jewish religion. He hated the gospel and was persecuting Christians. But after his salvation, Paul became so committed to Christ. He gave up his financial success and his aristocratic life. You read Paul's background, sometimes we miss it. Paul was a big shot of his day. He was a member of the Supreme Court. He was a big boy. And Paul gave up everything that he had. He risked everything to share the gospel with others. So write this down. I must unashamedly speak up for Christ. Let me read verse 8 for you in the message. We're going to put it on the screen so we can see 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Here's how it reads. It says, so don't be embarrassed to speak up for our master or for me, his prisoner. Take your share of suffering for the message along with the rest of us. I don't want you to miss that part. The last part is important. Let's say it together, that's from take. Take your share of suffering for the message along with the rest of us. We are living in an anti-God world, and there is going to be suffering. Oh, some preachers want to sugarcoat it and make it say, there is going to be suffering for those who stand boldly for Christ. Paul says, don't be embarrassed. Take your share. Every Christian is part of the family and will have to share in suffering for Christ along with the rest of the team. We're part of this team. So we may as well stop trying to avoid ridicule for speaking up for Christ. It's par for the course. Listen, if you have never been ridiculed for your faith, do you know the reason that it is? It is highly likely the reason you have not been ridiculed is because nobody knows. And so Paul challenges us this morning that on our jobs, instead of joining in the guys and the girls, when they say their stuff, instead of standing for Jesus and not trying to fit in, amen, Paul says it's time to stand and be counted. It's time to be willing to pay the cost, because there is a cost to serving Jesus. And so as Paul sat in prison awaiting his execution, he wrote these unforgettable words in verse 12. Oh, I love these words. He says, "For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." My mom would walk around the house singing, "For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Do you know whom you have believed? And are you convinced that he's able to keep you and keep all you have committed to him? I've always loved that verse. "For I'm confident that my heart and soul are eternally secure in my Savior's hands." And I want to ask you this morning, perhaps you're here for the first time or you've been visiting, I want to ask you, do you have this eternal assurance and security? Are you sure that if you died today, you would be with God? Are you sure you would be with him forever and ever? I thank God that we can have confidence. And the Apostle Paul says, "I know whom I have believed, and I am confident that he's able to keep what I've committed to him." Thank God for the assurance we have in Jesus. And I pray that today you will come and open your heart to the Savior. In February 2020, my wife and I had the privilege of meeting Andre Brunson, an American missionary who had been imprisoned in Turkey, and he was finally released in 2018. We saw him a couple of years after he was released. And you may or may not know this, but Turkey is among the five largest unevangelized countries in the world, and it's a very heavily Muslim country. Christians are abused in Turkey. And so Andre Brunson and his wife, despite the risk, they gave themselves to serve God there and to share the gospel in Turkey. And after 20 years of ministering in Turkey, he was arrested and sentenced to 3 life sentences. 3 life sentences to talk about Jesus. He told us, by the way, he was confined to solitary confinement. He told us that life in solitary confinement was tough. And he said he was forced to lean on God more than ever before. But he said, you know, after a while, God worked in his heart so much. He started thanking God for the privilege to suffer for him. And he said, after a while, he started experiencing a depth in his relationship with God that he had never had before. I imagine Paul must have been experiencing that. As he waits to be beheaded, he's not deterred. He's not fretful. God is holding his hand. So Andrew Brunson said, here's how he summed up the whole thing. And I wrote it down because it was so powerful for somebody to have suffered so much for Christ. And here's what he said. God is worthy. Write that down. God is worthy, and he's worth our all. God is worthy, and he is worth our all. And I believe a big part of the message God has for us today is simply this. God is worthy, and he's worth our all. So what have we said so far? First, I must commit to utilizing my spiritual gifts. Secondly, I must commit to speaking up for Christ despite the cost. And third and finally, I must commit to staying rooted in God's word. I must commit to staying rooted in God's word. Verse 13 says of 2 Timothy 1, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. A pastor paid a home visit to an older member of his church, and as he sat speaking to her, he noticed some unsalted peanuts on her coffee table. Now, he was hungry. He had missed his lunch, and he loved unsalted peanuts. So he decided he'd take a few. And after he took a few, he took a few more. And then he took a few more. And then he took a few more. And soon all the peanuts were gone. Well, he was so embarrassed, he started apologizing for eating all of her peanuts. But the lady stopped him. And she said, don't even worry about it, for ever since I lost my teeth, I don't chew the peanuts anymore. Hold on. Can I finish my story? The lady says, I just suck off the chocolate. I just suck off the chocolate and leave the peanuts. There's a lot of chocolate-covered teaching coming from some pulpits today. And it seems that some Christians are quite happy sucking off the chocolate rather than worrying about the nuts. And to be honest, some of the people are nuts. It seems that we're in an age that some Christians, as long as we can get our praise on, we don't care whether or not the preacher and the preaching is rooted in the Word of God. We're only going to church for a good time. But as Paul brings it to come near the end of his life, he challenges us that we must commit to staying rooted and grounded in God's Word. My friend, I just want to say, make it very, very clear that doctrine and biblical teaching matters. I remember one lady told me one time, why do we have to talk so much about doctrine? Because doctrine matters. It's the centerpiece of what we believe and practice. So as Paul neared the end of his life, he said to Timothy, hold fast to the sound teaching you heard from me, and make sure to carefully guard the precious truth that was entrusted to you. And I challenge my younger brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. I am so thankful for the tremendous change we're seeing going on. But young people, younger generation, listen, you need to make sure you are getting rooted and grounded in God's word. So write this down. Listen, Bible study does matter. I want to emphasize that. You notice we are doing a lot of Bible studies? We're doing a lot of Bible studies because Bible study does matter. We have to become rooted and grounded in God's word. We can't fake it until we make it. May we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, write this down, commit to guarding the precious truth that God has passed down to us through his apostles. I must commit to utilizing my spiritual gifts. I must commit to speak up for Christ despite the cost. I must commit to staying rooted in God's word. On April 21st, 1519, the Spanish explorer Hernando Cortes sailed into Mexico with only about 600 men. But in just 2 years, his vastly outnumbered army defeated all the warriors of the Aztec Empire, making Cortes the conqueror of all Mexico. It doesn't even make sense. 600 soldiers conquered the entire Mexico. How in the world did he accomplish that? Here is the secret. Because Cortes knew they were facing incredible odds, as soon as they came ashore and unloaded their provisions, he had his entire fleet of 11 ships destroyed. Do you get it? There was no retreat. From that point on, every soldier knew there was no turning back. Their only option was to go forward. Sadly, sometimes as Christians, we don't feel that way. We're not single-minded. We always figure if it ain't working, we can jump ship. But by God's grace today, listen, it's time for us as believers in Jesus Christ to make a decision that I have decided to follow Jesus, and God helping me, there will be no turning back. Amen. And that's the challenge today. We're going to be singing that in a moment or two. And it is my prayer that by the power of the Spirit of God, each of us will make that determination to God. God, I have decided to follow Jesus, and I ain't gonna turn back. No matter what the cost may be, I am not turning back. And it is my prayer that even today, even if you have done it before, you will do it again. You will recommit to God again and say, God, I'm following you, and I will follow you all the way. And today I commit to utilizing my spiritual gifts. Today I commit to speaking up for you despite the cost. Today I commit to staying rooted in God's word, because God, I'm moving on to higher ground. Father, thank you so much for saving us and loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. And we thank you that because of what he did, this morning we have assurance that we have everlasting life. We know you, and we know that you will keep safe and secure all we have committed to you. Help us then, that we may live lives to please you, for Christ's sake. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.